to 10, and now Campus, a program about educational encounters at the third level.
Good evening, I'm Bernard Smythe in Christchurch. In Campus tonight, I'll be talking to Ian Todd of Christchurch Teachers College about aspects of the new health education syllabus, and Eileen Cook will be discussing with Dr. Ken Usher his years as Director of the Student Health Service at the University of Canterbury. First, though, we have Jim Sullivan in the studio. Now, Jim is actually a member of the staff of Radio New Zealand. He's in charge of the archive section. But for the past few months, he's been on loan to Christchurch Polytech. Jim, why are you on loan to Christchurch Polytech?
Well, Bernard, it's a very simple reason. The Media Studies Centre at Christchurch Polytech is in the care of Brian Pauling, who is on a Fulbright scholarship for 3 months overseas. He's been looking at broadcasting training in Great Britain, Europe, and particularly in the United States, and he will probably have a great tale to tell when he comes back. But in his absence, Radio New Zealand and the Polytech thought it would be quite a good idea to have someone from broadcasting involved at the Media Studies Centre during that time, because of the need for a closer liaison between what's happening in the education of potential broadcasters and what broadcasters in the game today are doing. So hopefully we're trying to bridge that gap.
Jim, although Polytech's work in this area is probably fairly well known to Christchurch listeners now, I doubt whether it's greatly known outside Christchurch. So could you tell us something about the courses which are offered there?
Well, Media Studies Centre really burgeoned in the last 2 or 3 years, I think under Brian Pauling's enthusiasm and the assistance of an experienced tutor, Murray Miller, both of whom have good backgrounds in the area of broadcasting and communication. The idea was that the broadcasting industry was seen as very much part of the communications revolution, which is going to be employing a great number of people in the next generation or two. And the directors of Christchurch Polytechnic took on board the idea of a media studies centre related specifically to the industry's needs in the way of recruiting people who were trained for the broadcasting industry. And because it is really still the only course in the country that is providing training at such a practical, hands-on level, the courses here have become more or less national, so that our recruiting and appointment of students covers all parts of New Zealand. The courses are advertised in all the main centres, and so we end up, when we run our courses, in having students from just about every part of the country. The idea being, I think, that being unique in the sense that it's the only type of media studies centre running these particular courses, the demand for recruits is nationwide, therefore we're drawing in the students nationwide.
Jim, you've been a broadcaster from way back. You've been in radio for quite a long time now. We won't say how long. So you're in an excellent position to make some kind of a judgment. Now, are the people who are turning out from these Polytech courses broadcasters or good potential broadcasters, or are they people simply who are more enthusiastic than they used to be about broadcasting but still not very well informed?
I think your first suggestion is the more accurate one, Bernard. The courses themselves, I might just mention some of the content to illustrate this point. There are three main courses dealing with broadcasting. They have fancy names. One is called Pre-Entry Course in Radio Broadcasting, indicating it's a 10-week full-time course for people who probably have had no radio experience whatsoever and would come into the enthusiast with great potential category. That's the type of student we tend to get on that course. The second level course is usually about 8 weeks, and that's really for people who may have already done the pre-entry course, or more commonly, could be young people who are already working in the broadcasting industry, either within, shall we say, Radio New Zealand or a private radio station, and who need that second level course just to give them a chance to hone up on some of their skills and get experience in the type of skills they may not be getting in their work environment. Other courses, well, the one to note is one that will be a pilot running next year, which is called a radio journalism course, recognizing here, I think, that at least until recently, the area of journalism was having a very high turnover in staff, and the radio industry saw a need for a pool of young people who had already had some training in radio journalism who could be absorbed into the system. With no disrespect to other journalism courses, most of them, which are run by Polytechs or perhaps the Canterbury University course, are producing people who are not getting the same emphasis in broadcasting as the particular course we are running. What happens with each of these three courses is that the Christchurch Polytech FM radio station is also on the air, which means you very quickly get the students into the radio station situation, and it's a kind of sink or swim thing. They may have had 2 or 3 weeks initial training, and then they're given a radio station. And by given a radio station, I mean that quite literally. We've just finished a course, for instance, where the 12, 13 students had their second level course, and at the final 2 weeks of it, they were given the radio station. We, as tutors, sort of sat back and just were there in case there was any flack. The students themselves ran the station. Now, this practical approach, I think, is proving successful in the sense that the industry know that the people who are produced on the course can actually walk into their radio station and be asked to do one of a multitude of jobs, whether it be copywriting, news reading, news writing, announcing, whatever, and have at least some acquaintance with it. And this, I think, is being borne out by, so far, our success, which has been, I think they're quoting a figure of 80-85% of our ex-students are now in the industry somewhere. You'll find them all over the place. Mm. But your initial point about me as an old-time broadcaster, I think, is worth commenting. I'd lost track a bit of where are the new broadcasters coming from. Certainly in my day, the NZBC and its successors have always been running training courses, and the training provided within the VCNZ, I believe, is very thorough and very appropriate. But of course, you're looking at people who have already been in the system for a while and are usually being trained to a higher level. The people we're looking at are those enthusiastic potential broadcasters who go and ask for a job at a radio station and are told, what experience have you got? None. Therefore, down the road they go. In this case, they can complete a course like this, and when they say that they have had their 8 weeks or 10 weeks at the Christchurch Polytech course, the employer can say, oh, right, I know that you have an in. Start tomorrow, and we can build on that. So we've broken that cycle of getting experience.
And you're setting out to set some kind of a standard. Jim, one final question. The fact that you, as a Radio New Zealand staff man, is filling in for Brian Pawling while he's away in this job, suggests a close relationship between Radio New Zealand and Polytech. But is it close enough? Are you getting the full cooperation from the industry that this course would have to continue to be successful?
I'm going to give you two answers, Bernard. One's Polytech and one's probably looking at the future. Yes, the industry, both Radio New Zealand and the Independent Broadcasters Association, who are a loose confederation, well, they're a confederation of the private stations, are very supportive in providing tutoring skills, in sometimes providing equipment. The cooperation there is absolutely tremendous, and in fact the courses wouldn't be successful, in fact probably wouldn't run, if it wasn't for that cooperation. But the second part of that answer, I think, is that as the courses grow and as the radio industry begins to rely more and more on this type of recruit for their staffing, I'm sure that cooperation will grow. And we already have indications that Radio New Zealand in particular and other broadcasting bodies are looking at areas, for instance, like the training of young Maori people for proposed Maori networks. We're looking very specifically at what the industry wants in the next 10 years and then trying to match up the programs to provide that product for the industry.
Jim Sullivan, thank you very much. And here now is Eileen Cook to talk to Dr. Ken Usher.